Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. For the next two sessions, we're going to be talking about how to reap the rewards of honor. How to reap the rewards of honor. A harvest from honor seeds that is sown. Amen. And you can kind of follow along in your book. I don't know how the outline is set up, the PDF on the website, but it's page 154 somewhere in your book. All right, we're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you that this is a day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. We thank you him being the visionary of Ever-Increasing Word Training Center and Word of Life Christian Center. We thank you right now for the First Family, Lord God. And we just trust, Lord God, that your will is being done in their lives and in the lives of all the people that are connected to this vision. And we thank you and we give you all the praise. And Father, as always, I expect the Holy Spirit to show up, because if he don't show up, I will fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning and depending completely and totally upon him. All right, how to reap honor rewards, a harvest from honor seed sown. One of the things I want to point out is one of the most important things in your destiny or in your life is to fulfill the will of God for your life. One of the most important things, you know, that you could ever do to secure your destiny is fulfilling the will of God for your life. All right, let's begin. What do you think it takes for a person's life to demonstrate and to reap honor rewards? Does honor just happen automatically? Absolutely not. There is a process that must be followed. Honor just doesn't happen automatically. There's a process. And actually, we're going to be looking at a seven-step process. The author refers to them as 7 points, but I like to use the word steps because each step builds upon the other. You can't get to step 3 before you get to step 2. So everything has to be followed in order. Amen? All right. When developing generational anointings, it is so important that the sons and the daughters submit totally to their spiritual father. And one of the first aspects of developing or reaping the rewards of honor is, like I said, it's a 7-step process. That first step is you must be called. You must be called. Amen. There must be a call of God on your life. Called into the fivefold ministry or called into the ministry of helps. The 7 steps must be built upon. And that's why, like I said, I refer to them as steps. And I'm going to just call out the 7 steps. But we're going to probably just do 2 of them today and the other 5 next week, depending on how far I get. The first step is that you must be called. The second step is you must be commissioned. Third step is you must be competent at your gift. The fourth step is having good conduct. The fifth step is continuity. There must be continuity in ministry. The sixth step is confidence. There must be, I'm missing one. Called, commissioned, competent, conduct. There must be good conduct. We must know how to present ourselves and how to stay above reproach. Then continuity, then confidence, then number 7 is control. The first step to developing the seed of honor is you must be called. You are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. So it's very, very important that you know that you are called and that you know what that calling is. And I want to skip over to something right quick. When developing anointing blessings from the Father to the Son and proceeding it down to your children, whether it's physical children or spiritual sons and daughters. In ministry, there is, like I said, a 7-point process. The first step is that you must be called into the ministry. That's so very important. All right, let me give you a definition of called. A strong inner urging or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill your vocation or assignment. A divine call to be called, summoned by God into ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. Amen? And as I stated earlier, you know, you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. You are also called to serve in the ministry of helps. I don't want to underemphasize that. I know we talk a lot about the fivefold ministry gifts, but being called into the ministry of helps is just as important as being called into the fivefold ministry. There are different categories and different levels, but each is a specific calling. One of the things I want to point out to you is that God has also called you into, if you've called into the ministry of help, God blesses you with gifts and special skills and talents that you are to use for His glory to help undergird the ministry and the man of God God has called you to. So even if you're called to work in the nursery, be an usher, serve on the praise team, part of the band, the ministry band that undergirds the praise team, you know, called to be a parking lot attendant. All of those are callings, even in the ministry of helps, because I always use the illustration, there's no bench warmers in the body of Christ. Everybody has a position, everybody has a role that they must function in. And it's so very important that you find your place in ministry, whatever that might be, because once you find your place in ministry, God will anoint you and He will equip you to fulfill your assignment. And that will enable and help you to produce honor in your life. God calls you into ministry, but He also uses a ministry gift as an apostle or a prophet or a pastor to confirm that calling. Amen? Proverbs 11:4 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So it's good to make sure that when you are called, it's you have counselors or people in the fivefold ministry gifts to confirm that calling. That's so very important so that you're not stepping out irresponsibly. Amen. But unto every one of us is given a grace, a special endowment or anointing, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:7. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high. I'm still in Ephesians 4. This is verse 8. He says, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. It's talking about Jesus, okay? And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he give these gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you are called into ministry or the ministry of helps, you have been given by God as a gift to the body of Christ. So you got to consider yourself, I'm a gift to the body of Christ that God has placed or endowed upon me. And it's so very important that you stay in your lane. A calling from God is the first step towards being successful in ministry. If you are not called, it is no way possible for you to be successful in something that you're not called to do. Whom God calls, He also equips. Stay in your lane. In other words, stay You know, if God calls you in this particular capacity, stay there until God promotes you or moves you to another level. But stay in your lane. You have too many people trying to switch lanes or walk in areas of anointing that they aren't equipped to do. And we stated in other classes how that's, you know, that's dangerous. Psalms 127 and 1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the workmen work it but in vain." So God has to build that house. You know, this is God's will. We don't determine what we want to do in ministry. And that's why it's so important to utilize Romans 8 and 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, that they are the sons of God. And let the Lord lead you in the area that he wants you to be in. Amen. Jeremiah, who was a prophet, Jeremiah 1 and 5, God told the prophet Jeremiah that he was called. And it says in Jeremiah 1 and 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations." So here, you know, even before Jeremiah, who was a prophet, was even formed in his mother's belly, God had already called him and ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. God has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4. It says, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." So it's God's will. You know, God calls you based on his will and what he wants you to do. Amen. Ezekiel was also told by God that he was called. Paul constantly opened up writings in the New Testament talking about, you know, that he was called by God. Amen. In Ephesians 1 and 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ." Amen. Jesus himself was called. It says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So God called Jesus, and he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And in Acts 9, 15 through 16, God tells Ananias that Saul was a chosen vessel. It says in Acts 9, 15 through 16, it says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." That's God confirming through Ananias that at Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, was called by God. In 2 Peter 1 and 10 and 12 and 13, Paul admonishes his sons in ministry. A confirmation by others in ministry of your calling. It says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, given diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." That word diligence is a constant and an earnest effort to accomplish your undertaking, persistent to carry out your assignment. In verse 12, In 2 Peter, it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent in putting you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up and put you in remembrance of the gift of God on the inside of you. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning." So Paul constantly reminded his disciples, stirring them up about the gift of God that's in you. And see, that's what an apostle does. They can keep the fire under your feet. They can keep you stirred up, you know, so that the gift of God, which, like I said, the first step of reaping the rewards of honor is knowing that you're called and what office you're called to do, what area of ministry of help you're called into. Because once you begin to step into that area and step in those zones, you're honoring God with who you are. And then God now is equipping you, giving you everything that you need to carry that assignment out. Amen. Like I said, this is what the apostolic anointing is for. Someone who has insight in the ways and will of God. Someone with a heaven to earth connection. An apostolic anointing will keep the fire under your feet concerning your call. I can remember when I first, I guess I had been a member of Word of Life for a couple of years, and I went to visit an apostle's office to ask him a question about another matter. And while I was in there, he called me into prison ministry. He says, I want you to start going to prison ministry with two other ministers who are already gone and sit and listen and let them train you. And that'll give you an opportunity to begin to develop your gift in ministry. The first time he met me, my wife and I went for consultation with him even before we were members. And I remember him looking at me just like it was yesterday and said, son, you got a call of God on your life. Said, but you need to be pastored. In other words, you need to be trained. You need to be taught. You need to sit, listen, and learn. He didn't say all of that, but that, I mean, the words that came out of his mouth, which you need to sit under somebody who could properly train you. And to be honest, that was some of the most monumental times in my life, and still is, sitting at the feet of the apostle, learning from him, growing from him, you know, having him be a covering for me. All of those things are vitally and technically important if you want to honor God and if you want to reap the rewards of honor. All right, let me move on. Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Amen. The Amplified Bible of Romans 11 and 29 says, for God's gifts and his calls are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, and he doesn't withdraw them. They're irrevocable. Amen. And the thing about it is, you'll never completely be satisfied in life. There's always going to be a void when you're not fulfilling the call and the purpose of God in your life, because that's where the honor comes in. That's where the honor comes in. Amen. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, Paul encourages us to walk worthy of our calling. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the office wherein you are called. The Amplified Bible of that same verse of scripture says, I therefore, the prisoner from the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, having behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. I mean, it's powerful. It's powerful. Going back to Ephesians, King James Version 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with all longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and one Father of all, who above all and through all and in you all. Therefore, he said, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. You see, we do not give or bestow gifts on ourselves, or our talents, or take gifts, the gifts that we want. Jesus gives gifts unto men. Every good gift comes from God. Amen. So I'm just really getting scriptures down in your spirit and letting you know the importance of that first step. There's got to be a call. There's got to be a yearning and a burning on the inside in the area of the ministry of helps or even in the fivefold ministry gifts. And like I said, those gifts are irrevocable. You're not going to be satisfied. There's going to be an emptiness there until you fulfill the will of God for your life. 2 Timothy 1 through 9. I don't know if I'm going to read it all, but our apostle feels the same way towards you as Paul did towards Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve my forefathers, through pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfringed fate that is in thee, which dealt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. This is apostolic in operation. When you stir up the gift that is within you, you are giving glory and honor to God. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, for God has not given thee the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, and according to his own works, but not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Here again, that call came even before the world began. God had already predestinated you to be called into particular offices. So don't take it lightly. Don't take it ashamedly. Amen. The call comes from God, but the commissioning comes from, God's fivefold ministry gifts, the apostolic, I should say. When you find individuals that are called spiritually by God and confirmed physically by apostolic government, when you find them, you put them in their calling. I mean, I know that's what happened with me, because like I said, the very first time I ever met an apostle, me and my wife were sitting across the desk from him, and he looked at me, and I want to say, even pointed his finger, and said, son, you got a call on your life. He said, but you need to be pastored, or you need to be trained. And from that day forth, my training with apostle began, okay? And over the process, you know, that's what a covering does. It protects you. It gives you some rope, and then it lets you know where you're not and where you need to be. I never forget first time I was called to the pulpit to just close out the service, to read the minutes and just to close the service out. I stumbled through the minutes and closed the service out, and he had stepped down from the pulpit, and I stepped behind him, and I thought it was going to be a simple matter. But the minute I got behind the pulpit, I felt the residue of anointing that was on his life. This was over 30 years ago, and I'm standing there just bathing in this anointing, not knowing what to do next. I kind of looked over at him in the side, and he would say, go ahead, go on. And then when I stepped down and after I closed the service, I heard the Spirit of God speak to my heart and say, son, you are not ready. You know, it's letting me know this call, this appointment is bigger than you, and you can't handle it in your own strength. You're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to rely on me. And from that moment, I was really humbled, because I knew there was something that I didn't quite have yet in preparation, in development, to just step into the call. You know, but that's why you have the apostolic, is to help you make those moves properly and guide you and protect you along the way. And believe me, it is so very important. If you will honor that call and speak into that calling. It is the first step to reaping the rewards of honor. This is what the apostolic is doing through Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association and Ever Increasing Word Training Center, lighting the torches of ministry around the world. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, who was working the family farm, was called, or actually he was commissioned into ministry by Elijah after the instructions he received from God in the cave. For Elijah to be honored as a prophet, he first had to show honor by ministering and serving Elijah, his man of God, or his spiritual father. Elijah served Elisha for over 20 years and never left his man of God, but stayed close to him. And that's very important. Too many people leave early. Too many people don't get everything they need, and we'll get into that later. But 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 16 and 19 and 21, I'll read as much of it as I can. It says, and Jehu, J-E-H-U, the son of Nishap, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. This is God speaking to Elijah. And Elijah, the son of Saraphat, and I can't pronounce this one, A-B-E-L-M-E-H-O-L-A-H, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. All right. So he departed hence and found Elijah, the son of Saraphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. That was a form of commissioning him. That mantle had the anointing on it. I remember one time I was standing in an old church looking at some pictures that I had taken of the time Apostle first ministered at a camp meeting. It was in the back of the old church. And all of a sudden I felt a presence behind me, and he touched me on my shoulder, and I felt that anointing just strong upon me. You know, I always look at that as sometimes as a form of commissioning, you know, but Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. Okay, verse 20 says, and he left the ox and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I to do with thee? I didn't call you. And so Elijah was telling Elijah, I didn't call you. You know, I'm just doing what God told me to do to anoint you or to commission you to be a prophet. But cast his mantle on Elijah, he was confirming his calling. And he returned back, let's talk about Elijah, and took a yoke of ox and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the ox and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In other words, Elisha ministered unto Elijah for a space of 20 years, maybe more. But he always stayed with his man of God. That's the key element I want to point out. He stuck with his man of God. Amen? All right. Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. After Elijah's mantle, which represented the anointing, was cast upon Elisha, he was preparing for ministry. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. In other words, it's the son's responsibility to pursue their man of God, and it's not the father's responsibility to pursue the son. The father may commission or let the son know, I'm here for you, but it's your responsibility to pursue me. I watched Apostle over the years during the Kenneth Hagin ministry era follow his spiritual father. I was at the meetings, and I was blessed to see the connection that he had with his spiritual father. And that so inspired me, because it wasn't all about Apostle, you know, Dr. Thompson, but it was his connection that made the difference, you know. And I saw that for me, it was going to have to be my connection with Apostle that's going to make the difference, because the anointing always flows down from the head to the, you know, to the shoulders, to the torso, to the legs, no matter where you fit in that, you know, in that alignment, you stay connected. Amen. All right, let's move on. 2 Kings 3:11 is an example of Elijah's servant. It says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that may we inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said unto him, here is Elijah, the son of Zarephath, which poured water on the man of God's hand. In other words, he waited on Elijah. So they knew that Elijah must have had something because he served his man of God, Elijah, poured water on his hands or whatever he needed to do, carried his briefcase, opened the doors for him or whatever it took. But he served his man of God. And that's so, so very important. Amen. 2 Kings 2:2, Elijah continued to serve up to the very end until Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. It says, to reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the other sons of the prophets who stayed off in the distance. Don't be a secret disciple. Those who stayed in the distance, not getting nothing. It says here, and Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Bethel, or you can say a supernatural money come to you conference, or a healing revival. Sent me to Bethel. And Elijah answered and said to him, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the Lord, you know, then this is 2 Kings 2:4. The Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. So they went to Bethel, then went to Jericho. And then 2 Kings 2:6-7 says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan to do, a healing conference. And he said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, secret disciples, and they too stood by Jordan. Notice all but one, Elijah, stayed close. All but one. There were sons of the prophet. There were several sons, but there was only one that stayed close. The sons of the prophet stood in view afar off, and those that stood afar off did not get nothing when Elijah was taken up and received the double portions of Elijah's spirit. He, Elijah, was honored because he served faithfully his man of God and received all he needed in ministry. Don't leave before the process is complete. And that's so very important. And I'm trying to hurry, but I'm not going to read all this, but you know what happened. Elijah told Elijah, if you see me when I go up, he said, ask what you will. And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, if you see me, it'll be so. If not, it won't be so. So Elijah fastened his eyes on Elijah, and he received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. As a matter of fact, Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elijah did, recorded in the Bible. All right, let's go on to number two. Second step of developing the seed of honor is you must be commissioned. Amen? Commission. Definition of commission. The act of granting or delegating certain powers of authority, privilege, and granting the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands, being sent out and released properly into ministry. The authority to grant by one in delegated authority, an apostle or a prophet, or someone under apostolic government, commissioning you into ministry. The commissioning of a police chief is an example of a commissioning, or someone in public office. The matter of task so authorized, to authorize someone for service. You know, when a president is inaugurated, there's a transfer of power during the inauguration. That's a commissioning of power. And so now once the president is commissioned into office, he has the power to execute executive privilege, amen? To grant authorized for someone to be made or done place in order. There is proper order in the kingdom of God that must be followed and submitted to. To authorize or engage somebody to do something, commission an architect to design a house or a building. You know, you have to give them the commission to do it. Jesus appointed 70. This is an example of the disciples commissioning to ministry. Luke 10:1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and went them two by two before the face into every city and place where he himself would come. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So Jesus commissioned the 12. They were called by God, but Jesus commissioned them and he sent them out. And one of the things about being sent out, when you're sent out with the power and the equipment you need to do the task. I'll not go and do ministry unless I've been sent by my man of God, you know, unless there's something like I've been appointed over certain people in the church where I have access and rights to speak into their lives. But if it's a special assignment, somebody is in the hospital, I need to go and give instructions, and except the apostle says, Greg, I want you to go do this. Because I know if I go in my own strength and my own ability, I ain't about nothing. But if I go with his strength and his ability, his anointing, it's a totally different matter. And when I go, I let him know I'm doing this in reference to apostle. Amen? All right. Let's see here. Give me a second. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered or granted authority and sent out, authorized by God or God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is proper order of the kingdom of God being sent out properly. And that's so, so very important. Something else I want to point out too. When a spiritual father commissions ministry sons who are trained and developed in ministry, their chances of success in ministry are huge because they have received a proper transfer of the anointing from their spiritual father. Amen. That's so, so very important. And the Bible also says to neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. This is this scripture is found in 1 Timothy 4:14. Amen. Let's see what else. Paul is talking about setting in order the things that are wanting. Let me read this scripture first. For this cause left I Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. This is Titus 1:5. Paul is talking about setting in order the things that are wanting or lacking in God's kingdom must be set up in divine order for it to function properly. The government of God must be set up properly. If the government of God's kingdom is not set up properly, it will become dysfunctional and not produce what God's intended for it to produce. Those who are called must first, secondly, be commissioned or ordained before they can successfully go out and execute the kingdom's mandate. You never want to go out in ministry without the blessing of the man of God in your life. Amen. All right. That's a few more things I can say, but that's pretty much the gist of it. But first you must be called, then you must be commissioned. Next week, we're going to go into the next five areas of steps to reaping the reward of honor. I'll see you next week. Amen.